Our scripture readings this morning from the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Our New Testament reading, Philippians 4, verse 4. Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May each and every one of us, after hearing God's word, take a deep breath, and maybe with the quiet prayer, O God, through your Spirit, let me understand what you are saying to me today, this very morning. Brothers and sisters, friends, a positive attitude often makes all the difference. There is the story about the father who bragged to his son about what a great hunter he was. So the kid went with his father on the next hunting trip to see this great hunter in action. So they sat in the duck blind for a time, when one lonely waterfowl winged its way through the sky. The father took carefully aim, fired, and missed. Son, he said, you've just witnessed a miracle. There flies a dead duck. Nothing wrong with his attitude. My friend, some time ago, while preparing for a memorial service, talking to the family about the amazing positive attitude of their mother during her long illness, one of the family members went to get her mom's Bible, and she showed me a note in her mother's handwriting, and the family is still keeping the note in the Bible. She wrote, when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine. You see, attitude does make a difference. They say that it is your attitude and not your aptitude that will determine your altitude. The Hebrew Testament tells of a time when the Israelites were so completely down in the dumps that they even refused to sing the songs of hope and joy that used to lift their spirits in the past. Now there was no laughter, there was no song. Now they were weeping instead. And when their captors wanted them to sing their songs of faith, their songs of hope and joy, they had only one answer. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? See, it was during a time that they were indeed far from home. Captive slaves. Foreign land. Foreign Babylon. And now their captors came and said, sing to us, sing to us. And they thought, what can we sing? What shall we sing? Our songs are songs of faith. They're songs of hope. They're songs of joy. We don't want to sing those no more. How could they? They were longing for Jerusalem. They were longing for their temple. They wanted to return to their country. So they asked, how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Their only song left was one of despair. But much later, in New Testament times, Paul and Silas were imprisoned after a severe flogging. What did they do? Imagine. Their backs were torn apart. They were in chains and blocks. It was midnight, not only outside, but also inside. If ever there was a moment to refuse singing the Lord's song, this was it. The Bible says the opposite happened. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were singing the Lord's song, despite their pain, despite their misery, despite the darkness, and that saw them through. Today, as we are celebrating the Lord's Supper as part of World Communion Sunday, there is indeed a need for countless millions longing for consolation, yearning to be healed, oh, to be whole again. And not only in foreign countries, but many, many Americans are having difficulty expressing their faith with songs of hope and joy. Sometimes we think it feels like midnight for us. As a nation, we seem to be struck with uncertainty. The war in Iraq and Afghanistan, gas prices, financial woes, hurricanes, raging fires. It's easier not to turn the television on some days. And we are sensitized anew for suffering and pain. But it gets much closer on a personal level here in our neck of the woods. And I know some of them. People suffering immensely. People who got out of bed this morning to come to church with the prayer, oh God, just help me to get over there. People who recently suffered great loss. people who are losing hope. You don't have to go far to a foreign land. You'll find them, if you look around you, right here in Cocoa Beach. Know what happened to Israel in Babylon? They didn't only lose their freedom, they also lost their identity. They're away from it all, far away from their beloved temple. They were beginning to lose their faith. That's why they asked the question, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And people are still asking the same question in one or another way today. How do people sing the Lord's song in the midst of so much poverty, so much pain, so much misery, so much despair? How do they sing the Lord's song in a foreign land where children are dying from lack of the simplest medical attention? Some time ago, I read a church mission report after a team returned from Guatemala. And a member of that team said, in the face of a mother with hard lines across her face, with pain in her eyes, I saw all the poverty and all the hardship of the entire Guatemala. But then in one of the filthy streets, I came across a little boy who was singing, and I saw the sparkle in his eyes, and in that little boy's singing, I heard a song of hope. You see, that is the Lord's song. It's not always a song of fulfillment, but it is often a song of hope. And you know what? You can sing that song wherever you are. You can sing it in the midst of poverty and the hardship of long hours of labor. You can sing it at night when you hold your children to your bosom, not knowing how you will feed them tomorrow. And the mission team reported that the people of Guatemala, thou poor, still laugh a lot. One said, it seemed as if they carry peace within their hearts and lives. Could it be that despite their hardships, they had learned how to sing the Lord's song? All across the world, there are refugees who move from place to place in fear for their lives. But still they dare to sing to the Lord a song of hope. While in the Netherlands, we sometimes saw something that struck us funny a little bit at the beginning. You would see often a lady, mostly a lady, I don't know why, But there in the area where we live, and they would have a little birdcage in their hands. And if you get closer, you could see there's a little bird in. And then they would walk across into the park and towards the woods. Didn't always understand that. And one day I asked, why are you doing this? What's up? And then one lady told me that this little chaffinch of mine, it's a little bird about the size and color of a robin. She said, it has such a beautiful song. And I got it so that I can listen to the beautiful song. But they have a peculiar characteristic. After a while, they seem to forget how to sing. They stop singing. And the only way to get them to sing again is I take them back into the woods. And there they hear the wild birds sing. And in the process they get retaught. She said, and if they do not learn how to sing again, they will become depressed and they will die. You know, and sometimes since I heard that for the first time, now and then I wish I could be taken that like a little bird into the woods to hear the song again, to be refreshed again, learning to sing praise again. It is so easy to forget. What about us? Do we still sing the Lord's song deep within our hearts? Is your songs of hope and joy only memories of the past? Or is it time to sing again? Worldwide Communion has a message. It is a message of hope and love. The bread and wine are broken and poured because of eternal love for you and for me. Let it turn our silence today, our question marks, into songs of hope, songs of life, songs of assurance no matter what. If every bone in my body is aching, I will still sing the song, a song given to me by my faith. By my discovery, I belong to God. And maybe that is the tune that we'll be singing this morning. Because across the world, people like us are meeting in huge cathedrals and in small little churches, some without a roof over their heads. But they're coming together and they are reaching for the signs of love and forgiveness. And as they eat and as they drink, they are being retaught how to sing. How to realize, I belong to God. I belong to God. No matter if this is Babylon for me, I can turn it around because deep inside, my joy is determined by my relationship with God. So let us turn around the table, our fear and unrest, into songs of hope and faith and joy, songs of life and love, and let us return to serve again. O God, teach us your song. It is always a song of hope and joy. Amen.